As Detroit has slid its way down the slippery slope to bankruptcy filing, the eyes of the world have been fixed on the Motor City. Whether it was Time magazine renting a house for embedded reporters, Bob Simon of 60 Minutes comparing Detroit to Mogadishu, Chef Anthony Bourdain comparing Detroit to Chernobyl using the description post-apocalyptic, outsiders' view of Detroit has been, to put it gently, pretty negative. My next guest has raised the question, what happens when outsiders shape Detroit's narrative? When Detroit and its leaders and stakeholders just can't articulate a consistent message, someone else is going to do it. And how is that narrative shaped by outsiders going to affect Detroit's destiny? Mark Stryker of the Detroit Free Press explored all of this in a piece yesterday titled, Seeking Detroit's Voice, Lack of Message Lets Others Shape the Narrative. Welcome to Stateside, Mark.
It's nice to be here.
So what triggered you to say, I have to get this down and get this in the Free Press and ask these questions?
Well, it came out of discussions with a number of editors as we began looking at the way Detroit was being portrayed in the national media and the way our leaders were portraying ourselves back out to the rest of the world, but also to those of us here in Detroit. And it was very clear from the moment of that the bankruptcy was declared that not everybody was really on the same page. We remember seeing Kevin Orr and the emergency manager and Governor Rick Snyder and Mayor Dave Bing on Sunday morning talk shows.
Making the circuits, yeah.
And you could tell that none of them had spoken to each other about how do we want to present ourselves. Obviously, a bankruptcy is a very difficult situation. It's not good news, but there certainly can be a way of talking about the issues and the challenges that could help us get through the process more efficiently, without more damage than is already there in the process.
And it does seem that these outsider views and the outsider narrative is way more consistent than what the folks on the inside are sending out.
Well,
consistently sad, negative, fill in the blank.
The problem is that, of course, the situation in Detroit is frightfully complex, and it is very difficult for even those of us that are here and who live with it and who study it to have a really strong grasp over how complicated the situation is and how both the very, very negative things that have happened in the city and the whole history here, mm-hmm. how that has unfolded, and the way in which there are other counter narratives, counter forces that are sort of trying to fight back. And there have been some very positive developments here over recent years. And getting a handle on how all of that works together is very complicated. But when you do have people parachuting into Detroit, it becomes very difficult for them to understand all the nuances when we ourselves don't really have a grasp of it.
And then what is your concern or worry about what impact these outsider narratives could do to Detroit's trajectory and its future?
Well, I think the one of the concerns that was expressed by a number of the people that I spoke to for this story, including Matt Seeger, who is a crisis communications expert, he made the point to me that, look, there are people all over the country. There are business leaders. There are foundation folks. There are people with lots of resources and lots of people with the ear of important people in government, in the nonprofit world, and in the commercial business world who want to help us. But if we let others, outsiders in particular, define us as mm-hmm. Mogadishu or Chernobyl mm-hmm. or the like, and we ourselves seem to be bickering and fighting with each other rather than creating some sort of a real coherent vision for improving the lives of Detroiters, then we will mortgage that ability to connect with those people that want to love us. It's really about, can we as a community articulate that narrative vision for others to believe in and for ourselves to believe in?
Got to rally behind that. I'm speaking with Detroit Free Press staff writer Mark Stryker. His recent piece, Seeking Detroit's Voice, Lack of Message Lets Others Shape the Narrative. So let me ask you, how do we look ahead when there's so much uncertainty about the bankruptcy and retirees' futures and how the incoming mayor will work with the emergency manager and the new city council, there's so much in flux right now. How does one focus on what's at the end of the tunnel?
Well, that's, you know, in many ways a million-dollar question because we are in a position of as this process unfolds where we're not quite sure what it's going to look like. And there are a number of sort of ideas out there, narratives out there about what Detroit can be. One of them is the Detroit Future City project that the Kresge Foundation has been very instrumental in pushing, which envisions a much greener
– livable
city, but a greener city transforming so much of the empty space into environmentally into parks and greenways and the like. It's about consolidating neighborhoods. That's an image or a vision that that Mayor Dave Bing has talked about, but it ran into, you know, a great deal of political issues. It seems to me that now with a new mayor, we have an opportunity. He has an opportunity to assume that mantle, but he has to be willing to do that. And, you know, to date, he has not really created – he's not really talked about that grand vision that we're talking about here. He's talked about turning around city services. He's talking about, on a very practical level, making city government work, which is critical because it hasn't worked for so long.
Right.
But that still
that's pieces.
That's pieces. That's not looking long term. But I do think that now is the time in particular – that he hits the ground running on January 1st, that he can begin to rally folks around this sort of notion of, well, what is it that we want to be? What is the city going to look like? Where are the neighborhoods? Where are we going to put the resources? What are we going to do for folks who have been neglected for so long? How are we going to fix all that? How are we going to blend culture into our vision for the future? How are we going to blend the new urban pioneers that have been moving back into the city?
Largely white.
How do we integrate – integrate is a big word.
Yes, it is.
But how do we integrate these newcomers into the urban fabric when we've been – when we have neglected the population here for so long?
Largely black.
And so – you know, all of the tensions, it's not as if I'm suggesting or any of the people that we spoke with are suggesting that all of the tensions that we've experienced here over the years, racial tensions, the tensions between insiders and outsiders, suburban and city, the tensions between labor and management, it's not as if all of those things are magically going to disappear. But somehow we need to find a way of talking about and dealing with all of these conflicts within the context of everyone sort of seeing in the long run what we're going to be and where we're going to go.
And of all the communication experts that you talk to for your piece, Mark Stryker, do you get the sense they feel Mike Duggan could be the guy to do this?
There is great hope that he is the guy to do this. There are many folks think he has sort of the basic management skills that will take care of some of the inefficiencies of city government that have been a problem, and he will make, you know, he has the skills on that level to make the best stab at this fixing city government of any elected politicians we've had for a long time.
He's got the toughness,
and to be well, he has the toughness, and but the thing that we need to remember too is that the bankruptcy is going to take care of a lot of problems for him through the bankruptcy process, the restructuring of urban government, and getting rid of that debt, the $18 billion in debt. Is something that no mayor here has had that luxury, right? Of coming in with a clean slate, a lot of problems that where many elected politicians here, even the best, well-meaning, most competent, have run into brick walls, are going to be out of his way. So he has a chance
to look down the road.
To look down the road in a way that we have not before. So we do have to decide. We should say, you know, we got to decide what that vision's going to look like. You know, we're talking here in rather vague terms because we don't really know what it's going to look like. And we as a community all of us in Detroit have to decide what that's going to be, and then we have to buy into it. But we're not going to get there till we have someone or a group of people articulating these visions and what we should look like and giving us a real choice and giving us something. You know, you put the choices out there and you articulate them, you give people a chance to rally around them. So, again, we don't really know what it's going to look like, but we need someone somehow to show us what the options are and lead us. That's what leadership's about.
Detroit Free Press writer Mark Stryker, thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure. Anytime.